We are past Yom Kippur. Just as a reminder, we're past Yom Kippur. So, you know, Rob just mentioned, he said, well, you know, all my troubles I'm having with the recording devices and the video, etc., Zolzaina Kapara should be a Kapara, should be an atonement for me. And yes, it should be the suffering and the tribulations I'm going through, it should be a Kapara. But, you know, he said, even though, then he added on, even though we've just gone through Yom Kippur and we are already, you know, already forgiven and we already have a Kapara, we're already clean, so then, you know, on the surface, then it wouldn't require. There's no. You know, we should be starting off with a brand new clean slate, with no deservance of any tribulations. Not so simple. In other words, we've just gone through Yom Kippur. We've done Teshuvah, and we had Yom Kippur, the Kapara of Yom Kippur. Are we in the clear and dry right now? Are we okay?
No, not according to
even if a person did not do a single aveira since Yom Kippur, a person didn't speak a word of lashon hara, didn't do anything wrong, not a single thing wrong since Yom Kippur, is a person necessarily in the clear and dry? Not necessarily, and the reason is the following. Because another dimension of teshuvah, another ingredient, essential ingredient in the process of teshuvah, is to pursue actions of chesed and emes, activities of chesed, of kindness and emes and truth, based upon the pasuk in Mishlei, the chesed, the emes, yechupar aved. With chesed and truth, sin is forgiven. With kindness and truth, sin is forgiven. Ubiyuras Hashem, so meira, and by fearing Hashem, turning away from evil. In other words, sin is forgiven with acts of chesed and acts of truth. So that sounds very promising on the surface, very promising. You know, you just have to do chesed, give tzedakah, speak truthfully, and then all of your sins are forgiven. So first of all, the Rabbeinu Yonah explains, that's not what it's referring to. He says, at least bona besoda mikraza. First, understand the meaning of this pasuk. Ki omnum imachote l'shav el Hashem. If a person never did teshuvah, if a person didn't do any teshuvah at all, then certainly his sins are not going to be forgiven just with chesed, with kindness and emes alone. So who is it referring to that if a person does chesed and emes, your sins are forgiven? So he explains, he says, the pasuk is referring to, he's talking about, this Shlomo Melech said this, he says, al-bal teshuvah. He's speaking about teshuvah. He's speaking about a person who's gone through the steps of teshuvah, and still there remains some type of interference, some degree of static, some degree of klipa, some degree of barrier, some degree of interposition, which is separating the soul from Hashem. It's still there. Even if you've done teshuvah, a bal teshuvah has done teshuvah, still there could still be some static and interference and rust and decay and plaque, some spiritual plaque on the soul. You know, a good word to think or a good expression to think about is our spiritual physiology. I like that, spiritual physiology. There's a spiritual physiology, and part of the spiritual physiology is plaque. And the plaque is the Avera. So even if a person's done teshuvah, perhaps that's akin to, I finally go to the dentist. That's my teshuvah. I'm going to go. I admit I've been eating all these wrong things and I've got plaque. I'm going to go there. But it's still going to be, it's got to be taken off. But the Baal teshuvah, who has done teshuvah, still there could still be plaque remaining in that spiritual plaque. And from the Gemara, Kiyesha Veiras, because there are certain transgressions. Sha Teshuvah V'Yom Kippurim Tolim. The Teshuvah and Yom Kippur, they suspend punishment. They suspend the punishment. They suspend, I'm going to use the word, removal of the plaque. Right? The Teshuvah and Yom Kippur suspend the immediate removal of the plaque, but Yisurim and Markim and tribulations and challenges purge the sin completely. So here we are. We've just gone through Yom Kippur, right? We've done teshuvah. We have the first two ingredients. We've got teshuvah and we've got Yom Kippur, and we are all feeling perhaps comely and secure, and we're all okay. But Chazal say, don't be so sure. because teshuv, because I shouldn't smile, it's a serious matter, right? It is this teshuv, you may have done teshuvah, you've gone through Yom Kippur, but God forbid there could still be, God forbid a person could still have some spiritual plaque, which is not going to ruin. And the rule is, there's a principle, this is a spiritual principle, that Yisurim, the challenges and tribulations and difficulties and suffering, etc., all these different things, are the mechanism for purging the sin. This is something which, you know, as Rob said before, Zolzayin a kapara, a suffering, some type of difficult experience should be a kapara. Now, the Gemara says, even if you put your hand in your pocket to try and take out change and it's not there and it's a frustration and you get frustration, that's kapara as well. Any degree of frustration, whether it be physical, emotional distress, is considered a kapara. So anytime, this is a good thing to always think about, anytime we go through any personal difficulty whatsoever, then try to think about this should be a kapara, this should be a kapara. It's a very basic concept.
What does that word mean?
Atonement, purging. Purging, it's a purging. Sure. It's purging. Purging is the removal of the plaque, right? The ultimate. Now, later on in the Sefer, in the Gate 4 of Shari Teshuvah, he goes back to this subject in much more deep detail. And I'll refer to you, if you have the Art Scroll, in the Art Scroll, he's discussing the science of Yisurim, the science of tribulations, the science of suffering, the science of these ideas. So on page 652 and 653, there's a very extensive footnote which explains the science of Yisurim, of suffering and challenges. Just read a couple of lines of it on page 653 in the footnotes, the first line. Yisurim weaken and diminish the body. Yisurim are challenges, tribulations, etc. They weaken and diminish the body and thereby provide atonement. Actually, maybe we'll go back a few sentences before that. Go back to 652, where he quotes the Maharal. Last few lines in the footnote over there. Every transgression results from the defect of being controlled by one's physical sensual drive. A person sins because the desire of his body overcomes the conviction of his soul. In order for the sinner to gain complete atonement for severe sins, his physical drive must be reduced somewhat. This rectifies his defect and allows his soul to gain control. Yisurim weaken and diminish the body and thereby provide atonement. Atonement, right? Now, I'll pause over there. I'm going to read the rest of it in a few minutes. But the point is, that's the mechanism of Yisurim. It diminishes our attachment to the body. That's the idea. The idea of just frustrations of life, we recognize it intuitively. All the frustrations of life, whether it be physical, emotional, they remind us, don't depend upon the physical. You can't depend upon it. It's not reliable. The only thing which is reliable is the neshama. The only thing which is reliable is Hashem. But any type of material, worldly, physical, financial challenges, they're not reliable. You can't rely. So when things go awry, they remind you can't rely on these things. And therefore, intrinsically, it weakens our connection to the physical and the material because we realize they're not reliable. That's the idea. So sometimes a person needs that, right? And Yisurim achieves that. Now, I see you're reading further in that footnote, but I'll come back to it in a second. But we're saying right now that the Baal Teshuva, who's come out of Yom Kippur, may still require some degree of Yisurim and tribulations. However, says Rabbeinu Yonah, and says Shlomo HaMelech, there's two techniques which immunize a person from the need for tribulations. And that's the pasuk, Chesed ve'emes. Because Chesed ve'emes, Yechuper Oven, the Baal Teshuva, who's done Teshuva, gone through Yom Kippur, and may still require certain degrees of Yisurim to take away the final layers of plaque, Chesed ve'emes, there's a technique. You engage in acts of chesed, you do chesed, you give tzedakah, you do chesed, and you engage in truth, in emes, then these things can immunize, can take away the need for Yisurim. That's an amazing promise. It's an amazing promise. It's tremendous. It's a tremendous, such an encouraging thing. You know, going back to that footnote on page 653, where I paused on the second line, performing chesed, he's focusing on chesed, diminishes the influence of one's physical drive since it makes the person less self-centered and purifies him. And he goes on to talk about MS as well. and in the context of studying Torah, also weakens the attachment to the body. And that's why these two techniques specifically have a therapeutic effect, like Yisurim, but in a positive way. Chesed ve'emes. So it's a very encouraging thing. I mean, it's something which we're happy to hear it. So we've come out of Yom Kippur. So God forbid a person may require Yisurim, chesed ve'emes yuchuper oven. You do chesed, you do kindness, yuchuper oven, sins are going to be forgiven. If you take a look on page 114, again in the art scroll, page 114, he quotes at the bottom a inspiring message from the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim, in a letter to one of the wealthy people of his time, advises the person that when preparing his will, he should not leave his entire fortune to his children, but should set aside a portion of his estate for him, quote-unquote, himself. That is, he should designate a substantial amount to be distributed to charities after his passing to bring merit to his soul. As for how that money should be distributed, the Chofetz Chaim cites the verse, through kindness and truth, sin will be forgiven. This pasuk, which we're learning today, he advises that half the money be used to support Torah study by funding Torah institutions or supporting Torah scholars, and the other half be used for chesed matters such as free loans and helping poor brides with their marriage expenses. This way, the person's soul will have the merit of both kindness and truth. It's a very, very powerful message there. Very, very important. So this is it. So we've come out of Yom Kippur, and so we've done the teshuvah. We've gone through the Yom Kippur, through Kapara. But a person could be scared. You know, if you read the Gemara alone, God forbid, Chas v'Shalom, this could be Yisurim, Chesed ve'emes, Chesed. So we've come out of Yom Kippur, and now we're going into Sukkos. So you would expect, perhaps, that the Sukkos should seem would avail us with this idea, because it's set up this way. It's set up to go from Yom Kippur to Sukkos. So when I was looking at this yesterday, I was preparing this yesterday morning, I learned this a few days ago. I can't remember the sequence. I think I looked at this on Yom Kippur actually, and then on yesterday morning I was looking for something to learn about Sukkos in general. So I've got many Sforim in my library, so I just, quote-unquote, happened to pull off the shelf this Sefer over here called the Bnei Yisoscha. It's a Hasidic commentary. And just, quote-unquote, happened to open up at a particular spot over here. And lo and behold, it perfectly segues to everything which we're learning over here. Right? So let me, I'll read to you what he says over here. And it's beautiful, very, very inspiring. He quotes over here the Arizal. The Arizal says that on Erev Sukkos, there's a tradition to give a lot of tzedakah on Erev Sukkos, to increase one's tzedakah on Erev Sukkos. I actually saw this again in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch this morning. So the Kitzur Shulchan, another advertisement for this new program, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And if you want more information about it, I can send you the information about it. But this new program they're doing with learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, get through the whole Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in 1 year. So the end of the first chapter of the laws of Sukkot, the very beginning of the laws of Sukkot. So the last halacha. Okay, give me a second. Sorry. So Erev Sukkot. So on Erev Sukkot, la'acha chatzosa yom. Erev Sukkos, after midday, lo yochel pasa. First, it says, don't eat too much bread. Don't eat bread, actually. Don't sit down for a proper meal in order to have an appetite for eating inside the sukkah on the night of Sukkos. And the very last halacha in the first chapter is, v'yesh laharbas p'tzedakah b'erev Sukkos. One should give more tzedakah on Erev Sukkos. So you wonder why. Like, why the emphasis on Erev Sukkos? So the fog is clearing a little bit, because with the Shari Teshuvah, if we come out of Yom Kippur, and God forbid, we still need more, you know, removal of plaque. And chesed, tzedakah, is a very, very powerful technique. So there's a stress on giving tzedakah after Yom Kippur, now on Erev Sukkos going into Sukkos. So that's one of the reasons why. But he continues on over here, quotes another commentator called the Chidah, where the Chidah himself quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says that when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, Korsa bris lasses chesed zem zeh. They made a covenant to do chesed with each other. When the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they all agreed with doing chesed with each other. So, rather strange. Like, why did they do when they left Mitzrayim? That's leaving Mitzrayim, Pesach time. They all made a covenant of doing chesed with each other. So the Chidah quotes his teacher to explain this medrash with another medrash. Another medrash says the following: the Rav Ovin would say, "Bavarei kaba." Kochan shel tzaddik, and come and observe how powerful righteous people are. The kama gedola kochan shel tzaddik, and how powerful is the mitzvah tzaddikah. The kama gadol koach shel gomli chasad, and how powerful is doing acts of kindness. She'en chosin lo betzel kanfei aretz, because those people who give tzaddikah and do chesed, they're not protected. They don't rest under the shelter of wings of the lamb. They don't get shelter from the wings of the lamb. I'll explain this in a second. They're not protected and covered over by the wings of the morning. Nor of the wings of the sun. Rather, they are protected and covered over by the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Based upon the pasuk in Tehillim, Mayaka Chasdecha, how splendorous is your kindness? Because in the shade of your wings, they are protected. What does all this mean? Like, it's very strange, cryptic. So he explains it means the following: what are the wings? The wings are a reference to the wings of the angels, the malachim, the sarim, the spiritual heavenly beings which oversee, which are given authority to oversee certain things in the world. In other words, there's a hierarchy in the heavenly spheres. There's levels of providence. There's levels of conduct, of jurisdiction, and control over what's going on in the world. Hashem's at the top of the ladder, of course, and he's controlling everything. But he delegates. That's right. He delegates delegates providence to the sarim, to the spiritual beings, the angels, different levels of angels, and they all have their things in the world to oversee. But Hashem is on top of everything. So he said, when a person is under the wings of the land, or the wing of these various kinds of wings, it's referring to the wings of those sarim, those heavenly beings. And the Medrash is telling us that kibale tzedakah, because those who give tzedakah and those who do chesed, they are not under the wings of those other angels, of those other forces on high. They're under the wings of Hashem. They are being directed. They have a special providence. Doing chesed and giving tzedakah gives a person a special, very, very close providence and closeness to Hashem. It's more power. It's so powerful. And therefore, bali tzedakah, v'gimlis chasad, and people who give tzedakah and do chesed, they're not being directed and controlled and being overseen by one of these heavenly beings. But they're being directed and they are special hashkocha pratis and providence by Hashem himself. And this is what it means when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. When they left Mitzrayim, karsu bris, that's why they deliberately wanted to make a covenant with each other to do chesed. They understood that chesed has this very, very powerful effect of affording a special providence from Hashem directly. And therefore, they all agree, we're going to do chesed with each other. Chesed, b'gadesh liya hanagosam al yedei shum tzara. So they shouldn't have the providence and the being overseen by any other intermediary. Only through Hashem directly. And that's why when they came out of Mitzrayim, what happened to them? What did they experience as soon as they came out of Mitzrayim? They experienced that special hashkocha, that special providence, that special protection of Hashem through what? The clouds of glory. The Ananea covered the clouds of glory, which came right away. We spoke about the clouds of glory on Friday. We're not celebrating, we explained that we are commemorating the second appearance of the clouds of glory after the teshuvah of Klal Yisrael to the Chetah Egel, and they came back. But initially, the clouds of glory came. Initially, the Medrash says, with the Chidah's explanation, initially they came because of the tzedakah and the chesed that the Yidden were doing with each other. That was a major ingredient in meriting to experience the clouds of glory with the divine providence and protection and closeness that Hashem gave to them with the clouds of glory. Rakal Yedeyahem, only through that they merited this. And that's that. And now we move to Sukkos, because Sukkos is commemorating these clouds of glory. So everything fits together perfectly. So therefore, the mitzvah Sukkah, Zeicha, which is a commemoration of the clouds of glory, Vahashem Holech Lifneyem, Hashem going before them, etc., the close providence, Hashem Zochi Yisrael Al Yedit Zokah, that the Yidden merited this because of Tzedakah. So therefore, Tzedakah is the key ingredient to experiencing the special providence of the Sukkah / clouds of glory. That's the key. Tzedakah and Chesed. The Chesed, Tzedakah, the Chesed, Shekima, Vekila, they fulfilled and they accepted upon themselves. Al Kain, therefore, Minaroi, that's why it's so appropriate to increase our Tzedakah and our Chesed before the Yom Tov of Sukkos. So beautiful, right? To increase the Tzedakah, the Chesed, Va'az, and then, B'tzel Kanaf, Yisbarach, Shabbat, Nechs, and then we'll be able to truly, truly rest in the shelter of Hashem, Venislo named Belishim Sa, and have that close protection, that close connection to Hashem directly, not through any intermediary. Rakhu Yisbarach, only Hashem, Bevrasi Yisach Aleinu, that's the Sukkah. He goes on to explain a little bit more about it, but then also connects it also to the Arba Minim, the four species. So there's something which is very unique about the four species. Another thing the Medrash says, that the four species, the Arava, the willow leaf, the Esrog, and the Hadassim, and the Lulav, there's something very, very unique about them. And that is that these are the only four species that also have direct Hashkocha, providence of Hashem. All other things that grow are given to this delegation of the angels to oversee different the way things are in the world. And there were angels for this, angels for that. Angels say, make this grow, you know, this should grow, that should grow. But the four species have a special connection, a special providence directly from Hashem. And that's why we take the four species on Sukkos, because of this special providence, this special connection that we have on Sukkos with the four species. He says, when the Jewish people sinned with the golden calf and they lost the clouds of glory, and therefore that providence was withdrawn away from them. So the Pasuk says, now at that point, Hashem said to Moshe, now I'm going to send an angel to oversee the Jewish people. Now there's going to be an intermediary. You've lost my special providence. I'm not going to continue going up in your midst. God said to Moshe, they're losing that closeness. Lo ela b'kirbuch, I'm not going to go up in your midst. So the loss of God going up in being in their midst, lo ela, lo ela, I will not rise up in their midst. Ela, rise up. Those letters, aleph, ayin, lamed, hey, aleph, esrog, ayin, arava, lamed, lulav, hey, hadassim. Right? So they lost the providence as expressed by that verse. I'm no longer going to go up in their midst. They lost the providence, an allusion to the providence. Those four letters symbolize those things which also reflect the providence, the direct providence of Hashem of the four species. And one final point he makes over here as well. Bereshis bara lakim es shamayim ves ha'aretz. It says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So many drushes on the word bereshis. And few of them are bereshis for the sake of reshis. The beis is bishvil, is the first letter of the word bishvil. Bishvil for the sake of reshis. I created the heavens and the earth. I made the heavens and the earth. I made the whole of reality for the sake of Rashis. For the sake of Rashis. What's Rashis? Rashis means the first one. So one interpretation is, who symbolizes the first one of the world? The Jewish people. For the sake of Rashis, the Jewish people who are called the first ones, that I created this whole universe. The Jewish people are the raison d'etre of the universe to now promote God's presence in the world, to the nations of the world. But that's why it was all created. Hashem made the world so that there should be a Jewish... Hashem made the world that there should be a nation of priests and promoters of truth in the world, Jewish people. And that's why he made... Rashis, right? For the sake of Rashis. So I didn't do the calculation. But again, he said... So that, again, speaks to the providence and the closeness and the relationship. So apparently, he says the gematria of Bereshis is the same gematria of Esrog, Arava, Lulav, and Hadas. So calculate, so if you, you can make a, get a calculator and do it, you'll figure it out. That's what he says. But this is also, so as we go into Sukkos, right, the Sukkah, the Adonai Kovah, the clouds of glory, is all about this special providence. But what merits us that special providence, that elevation above and beyond, is tzedakah and chesed. And this therefore explains why it also, why chesed and tzedakah also immunizes us against, God forbid, suffering, because we're above it all. We've lifted, it's like if tzedakah and chesed brings us such a level of providence, we no longer lead the intermediary forces of angels in between. So it also stands to reason. That's why it also protects us from all of these more material, these more earthly experiences of Yisura. And it lifts us above all of that as well. So that's the chesed. So that's why it's, you know, just chesed. We have an opportunity to now do chesed, going to Sukkos as a segue from Yom Kippur, which we need so much. So we kind of, the teshuvah, Yom Kippur, now it's chesed, tzedakah, marbet tzedakah, give more tzedakah on our Sukkos. Of course, the Sukkah as well, with the Sukkah being itself described as a shelter for the whole Jewish people to be in, having guests, yushpizin. We have the spiritual guests, the holy guests of the yushpizin on Sukkos. I saw yesterday in another sefer, Yisod V'Yishur Shavoda, another famous sefer, he says that, he quotes from the Zohar, he says that if a person welcomes the guests of the Ushpizin and closes the door of the sukkah and not having mortal guests, those guests get up and leave. I don't want to be in such a sukkah, right? The spiritual guests are a parallel or a counterpart to the physical guests, to have guests inside the sukkah, which is a reminder, next Sunday, we'll have this class in the sukkah outside in the backyard over there. The sukkah's there. And well, bring your friends, bring family, bring everyone. It's open to everyone. I'm sure Joe will be okay with that, right? So that's the sukkah. It's an opportunity for doing chesed. Emes, truth, right? That was the second part of the pasuk. So how does sukkahs map to truth? So one obvious example is this. It's brought down that the three Yom Tov and Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos correspond to the patriarchs. So Pesach corresponds to Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak is Shavuos, and Sukkos is Emes. Sukkos is Yaakov. So this is brought. This is mentioned in earlier sources. I think it's the Torah who says this, that the Sukkos is Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the midah of Sukkos, and Yaakov was truth. Yaakov was his midah. Avram was chesed, Yitzchak is din, and Yaakov is emes. Emes is, and that's our treatise. So if Sukkos itself is connected to Yaakov, who is emes, so there you have the emes. Just living through the whole Yom Tov of Sukkos, it's a fulfillment of the midah of emes as well. Kabbalistically, the word emes also is associated, or is the word used for Kabbalistically, is Teferis, is splendor. So that's the Kabbalistic, counterpart of the word MS. MS really means, what is MS? MS is alignment, pure, perfect alignment of all parts. That's why the word Tu'um, a twin, is the same letters as MS, because everything is aligned and everything is aligned. When things are aligned, and that means truthful. Truthful is alignment. So even just simply, like if you tell the truth, my words are aligned with the facts. That's truth. It's MS. But on a bigger level, when you're aligned, when we're internally aligned, we are aligned with the world, aligned with mission, that's MS. That's what MS is. That's beautiful. That's Teferis. That's when there's a proper harmony between chesed and din. When there's a harmony between chesed on the one hand, kindness and din, justice, when they harmonize together in a healthy fashion, you have emes, you have teferis. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful harmony of the two. So the Yom Tov of Sukkos is a harmony of everything. It's a harmony of everything. And this is why a sukkah is magical, because you can take the most physical activities of the sukkah, of life, and elevate them by doing them inside the sukkah. That's the uniqueness of the sukkah. You're eating a cookie. You're having a meal, you're sleeping, you're doing anything physical, certain exceptions, but if anything physical you do inside the sukkah, you take it, you want to relax, you do inside the sukkah. It's the opportunity to elevate and to sanctify, the mundane. That's true harmony. That's alignment. That's the alignment of the physical and the spiritual together. One of the things which my Rosh Hashiva used to say was when someone would ask him, what's more important, the body or the soul? So many people would say, the soul, of course, and the neshama. He says, no. What's the most important thing is the blending of the body and the soul. Mm. Blending, the harmony of the body and the soul. That's the most important thing. Harmonizing, elevating the body, elevating the physical. The sukkah does that. That's the ultimate of alignment, of emes. And that's beautiful. That's tiferes. That's the sukkah. So this is what we have. So we are gifted with this beautiful yontov of sukkahs, right? Following on the heels of Yom Kippur, we have everything given to us on a silver platter. We are so blessed. We are so blessed as being Jewish people with the Torah and mitzvahs, because Hashem loves us. Hashem wants to give to us spirituality. He wants to give us ruchnius. He wants to give us netzach. He wants to give us a relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. And all we have to do is just follow His mitzvahs, and we'll have it. And here we have it. So that's our connection over here. So may we bezocha to chesed and emes in the days before Sukkos, going into Sukkos, and really live these ideas and really have a proper kapara and teshuva with the ultimate dancing of Simchas Torah next week, next Wednesday, to celebrate and to dance with all of this aliyah in ruchnius and kedusha and kapara, and to stand this in the, you know, this is what how a Yiddish year begins. Is it unbelievable? This is how a Jewish, you know, we don't party and get drunk, right? We do this. We do mitzvahs. We do mitzvahs to start the year off, to empower the whole year, to elevate the whole year. That's a Jewish year.